So we're continuing on in our series, Light Up Your World. Light Up Your World. Even as I look at that, and I look at that, Light Up Your World. That's an interesting one, isn't it? I love words when I see things like that. So, and it's talking about your world. And it's interesting when you think about it is, what is your world? Who are the people that you have relationships with? Who are the people that you work with? Who is your family? Who are your friends? Light up your world. You don't need to light up my world. That's for me to do. That's what God's called me to do, but light up your world. So even as we talk about this morning, let's just reflect on that a little bit and just think about your world and the people that are within it. I'm just going to grab some glasses. Reason is I'm going to go a little bit hard copy today, so here's a Bible, so I'm going to read from that. And I'm going to read some verses and just reflect on a few things as we look at this this topic this morning. So, and I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. And it's interesting where we've talked about Palm Sunday, and this is like Jesus marching into Jerusalem, the culmination, heading towards the culmination of his ministry here on earth. And I'm wanting us to take back a little bit to the beginning of his ministry and just see what was happening there. So in Matthew 4, verse 12, it starts off by saying, and this is like the heading in my ESV version of 12 says, Jesus begins his ministry. Jesus begins his ministry. So it says, now when he heard that John had been arrested, that's John the Baptist, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. And it's interesting you spoke about today, Brock, is about a prophecy that was fulfilled many, many, many years later. And this is the really important thing about Scripture. So much about Jesus was spoken about beforehand, and we see the culmination of prophecy, God's unfolding plan. So it says in here from this Scripture, it says, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. And this bit, it says, the people dwelling in darkness. So the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And we're talking about light of the world. So this is giving us a sense of that. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. So at the beginning of Jesus' ministry is this sense of a light coming in to dispel the darkness, to push back darkness, to take away, to actually give people sight so they can see things more clearly. That's what light does, doesn't it? When you go in a room, turn on the light, get to see things. When I used to come home late at night from working at our place, when Deb would move the furniture around, if I didn't turn on the light, what would happen? I'd bump into things because they were moved around. Thank you, darling. Appreciate that. So then it goes on, and this next part in Matthew 4 from verse 18, this talks about Jesus calls the first disciples. I think it's important because we're called to be disciples. We're called to be disciples. It says in verse 18, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Pretty ordinary guys. Weren't scribes, weren't really prominent people. They were fishermen. They were fishermen. Think about yourself before you knew Jesus. Who were you? What were you? I know I was a spare parts interpreter, so I worked for a truck spare parts place. I wasn't a really important person. That's what I did. Tried to do it well, but that's who I was. That's who I was. And he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately, and I love that sense, so Jesus calls them. They don't think about it. They don't rationalize it. They don't find all the reasons they can't do this, but immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Absolutely, as disciples, as we have been called of God, we just need to follow. Don't think about it. When he calls us, just follow after him. And we're called to continue to follow after him. Walk in his footsteps. So then it goes on. Then the next part it says from verse 23, Jesus ministers to the great crowds. And he said, and he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. I think it's important sometimes to recognize what Jesus was doing and why this just really caused people to just be astounded and wonder. We're talking about a person like here who's among them and he's healing every disease, every affliction among people. Not some, but every. Can you imagine the wonder of people as they saw this? So sometimes we, and I think in our brains, we think about the life of Jesus like it was a legend or it was, you know, something that happened way back, like a story. But this is a real person. These are real events. This was happening. Can you imagine if it was someone today coming out of Ipswich, of all places, and they were healing all afflictions and all diseases? And if you look back and you could see written in prophecy from way back that someone was going to come from Ipswich and be that. It's like that. If we apply it today, that's how we would think about it. This was a real thing. This was really happening. This was really happening. Could you imagine those people? I just want us to think about that today, to think about what would be going on in their minds, how it would just turn their world upside down and why they would be attracted to this person. Well, there would be wonder about who this person was. So it said, so his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds, no wonder great crowds followed him, eh? No wonder they followed him. And he said, and great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. So what happens next? These great crowds following Jesus. We read in chapter 5, and it starts with verse 1, and we get to here. This becomes the Sermon on the Mount. So seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. Who's his disciples here today? We are called, we're his disciples, and they came to him. So the words that he's about to speak, he's speaking to his disciples. And as we go down through the years, he's speaking to us today. He's speaking to us today. And so when I read these words, I want you to hear it as if he is speaking to you today. Speaking to you today. And the first part that he goes, and an amazing thing as he speaks to these people, is the thing that we call the Beatitudes. Amazing, turn the world upside down, radical thinking. That's what he starts with. So he doesn't say something that's nice and easy, but he just turns it, flips it on its head, flips their way of thinking on its head. This is what he does. And this is what he does in our lives. He flips it all upside down. He changes it all. It's not as the world thinks. It's not as the way we've been brought up or we thought what was real and what was true and how we should be, but Jesus changes it radically, radically. And we live as his disciples in this radical lifestyle, called to be his disciples, living in a way that is just so different from the world. It's meant to be. It's meant to be so different from the world. And I won't read it all, but he says things like in the Beatitude, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Not the rich and famous and the scribe and the Pharisee and the one who's got it all together and everything, their life is just perfect and they're doing all the right things. He says things like, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And he goes on and he says these things and he rocks their world. He changes their world. Those who want to hear, those who really receive. His disciples, this is the things that he's saying to us. But then it goes on and it talks in from verse 13, talks about salt and light. And I'll especially want to read from verse 14. This is where Jesus ends up with his disciples, one of the really important statements. He says, you are the light of the world. Guys, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. It doesn't say you're going to be the light of the world. It says you are the light of the world. That's what Jesus has done for us. That's his calling to us. You are the light of the world. And that seems strange, you know, when we think about that. We are the light of the world. You might look at yourself and you might say, how can I possibly be the light of the world? Because it's got nothing to do with your goodness or righteousness, or because you've got it all sorted out, because you live a perfect life, because you're really prominent and really, yeah, people look up to you. It's got to do with Jesus called you and you followed him. And by his grace, we have been saved in spite of ourselves. And therefore, because he puts his spirit and his life in us, he says, you are the light of the world. See what he's, this becomes your identity in Christ. You are the light of the world. So it says, then he says, a city on a hill can't be hidden. You can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. That is ridiculous. That is stupid. To light a lamp and put it under a bowl. It has no use when you do that. But instead they put it on a stand, so they elevate it. They elevate it, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So Jesus didn't say try to be the light, didn't he? Didn't say that. He said you are the light. That's your identity in Jesus. If you want to declare who you are the light. You are the light because of Jesus, you are that light. It is who you are in Christ. It's an important thing to recognize. It's an important responsibility. It's a blessing, not only for you, but to those around you in your world. You are the light of the world. And you may be thinking, as I said before, how can this possibly be? Joe, you don't know me. And you don't know me before I knew Christ. Why he would choose a person like me to be his light in my world, around my friends, around my family, and around the life that I would lead. Why he would choose a person like me? Because it was based on the normal measures that men put on whether a person deserves something. I didn't deserve it at all, nowhere near it. And I think if you reflect back on your own lives, you'll know the same thing. Reflect back to that time. Did you deserve it? No, we didn't deserve it, but that's who we are. It's by grace we've been saved. We know that. By grace, undeserved by God. We always need to remember that. We always need to remember that. It's what God does for us. It's because, as we even sang in the song, because our Father loved us so much that he sent his only Son to die for us. We didn't deserve it, and we need to always be grateful. You know, it's not about being better than everyone else. that you're the light of the world. It's about letting His light, because Jesus actually is the light, shine through us, and we reflect that light. We reflect the light of Jesus. He puts His Spirit in us, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And that's what people are meant to see. It's a bit like the moon and the sun, isn't it? The moon doesn't have its own light, but the sun reflects off the moon and it has light. So Jesus' light reflects on and through me, and people see a light. They don't want to see Joe because that's pretty dark. But Jesus through me, there is light. And therefore, because of that, I am the light of the world, because it's His light through me, His light through me. And that's, again, the grace of God. So we reflect Jesus. That's our call. That's our intention. That's our identity. That's who Christ has made us, each one of us in this place this morning. So the thing we need to do, is to be really careful that we don't hide that light, because that's what it said in that scripture as well. Don't hide the light. Don't be a person who puts it like a lamp and puts a cloth over it and hides it. Because Jesus says that because you could do that. It's not good. It's not right, but you could do that. And He warns us and He says, be careful of that. Don't do that. Like, that's ridiculous, guys, but don't do that. But it can happen. And why shouldn't we cause or put a cloth or hide the light, the light that Christ has put into my life? Because I'm meant to be a light for others so that they can see Jesus. Not see me, but see Jesus. That's your calling, that others would see Jesus through you, your light reflecting Christ for others to see. That's our mission on this earth. You know, by the when we give our life to Jesus and we're saved, absolutely. Go to heaven right there. Don't have to do anything else. Don't have to live a good life, do anything. Just like the thief on the cross with Jesus, you know, confesses who Jesus is and said, you'll be with me in paradise. Didn't have to do anything else after that. Didn't have to prove anything. Just needed to receive Jesus. And the same with us. So really, in reality, it's all done for us. Jesus has saved us. He set us free. But our mission is to reflect Jesus. As disciples of Jesus, that people would see Jesus, our friends, our neighbors, those that we love, those that we work with, that they would see Jesus through us. But I'm giving you the warning, just as Jesus said, don't put a cloth over that light. Don't do it. You can, but don't do it. People need us. People need us to be the light. They need to see Jesus through us. So how may we hide our light? So there's a couple of ways I've put here that I think we can hide our light. We can hide the light when we're afraid of what others will think. I think sometimes we get a bit caught up with, because as I said in the Beatitudes, we're radically different. We're meant to be different. And sometimes that can be a pressure on us. And so we're a bit concerned about what others may think about us because we're a bit different. Woohoo. Right. I tried the woohoo. I'm not good at woohoos. We are different. We're called to be different. We're called to be disciples of Jesus. It's what the world needs because they're in darkness. They haven't got it figured out. They may think they have. They may think science has or whatever politician of the day thinks they've got all the answers, but they don't. The only answer is in Jesus Christ. There's no other hope, no other way. And you and I are meant to reflect Him. We're meant to be different. So get over the fact that we're different. Get over it. Get over it that I'm not like everybody else. Get over it that I might think differently to everybody else. Get over it that I might act in the way like the Beatitudes say, and I want to forgive people and I want to just do things as God tells me to do or feel to do. And I may not be the same as others, but I'm following what God calls me to do and be Jesus, be the light in my world. We need to be vulnerable. because not everyone is going to agree with us. The world is actually trying to head in a totally different way, isn't it? Totally different way. Think about the things that are going on in our society at the moment, the things that they think now is right. It's just weird. It's just strange. Yet somehow we're all nodding our heads and agreeing that it's okay. Well, it just isn't. It just isn't. And we need to be different. We need to be Christ's light in the world, in our world. So don't be afraid. Fear will hold us back. And so that's why the scripture talks a lot about fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. And usually it's associated around when Jesus asks someone to do something. Then he says, fear not, be courageous, be bold. That's what he puts within us. We also can hide our light when we try to be someone we're not. We try to be something or someone we're not. What we need to do, guys, as Christians, and being Christian, is we need to be sure that who we say we are to ourselves. Like I say, I'm a believer in Christ. I believe in Jesus. I believe that he died for me. I believe that he saved me. I believe that I'm a disciple. And I say that to myself. We also need to make sure that we're saying the same thing to others. Not have a false mask or whatever in our lives. We need to know that who I say I am to myself is the same as who I say I am to others. That's being authentic and real, and it's powerful. The world needs to see that. We're not ashamed of who we are in the gospel. But we do it. We put a mask on. We're concerned about what they think. We want to fit in. I got here in big bold, be Christian. There's a part that says that just be a Christian. Just be a Christ follower. Be brave. Don't be pushed off. Be courageous. Be the light that your world needs to see. Hear me when I say this. I don't talk about this being in a way that it's arrogant and bombastic and we just push our own way in things. I believe Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey because of humility. He was a humble king. He was a humble king. And we need to be the same way as well. So, yeah, let that sit in our spirits. The other way that we can hide our light is because sometimes we stay quiet when God might be prompting us to speak or act. We know that we should shine a light, but we don't say what we need to say. We don't act in the way that we need to act. It's a bit like there's a book that I've read. It's about being willfully blind, saying, I will, even though I know to be a certain way or say a certain thing or to behave in a certain way, I'm going to just put my hand over my eyes and just be blind to that situation, willfully blind. I choose to be blind. I choose not to be and act and speak as I should. So put a cloth over the light once again. But God wants to use our lives, guys, our actual, ordinary, messy lives. Because remember, it's not about you. It's about the light of Jesus shining and reflecting through you. So he wants to use our ordinary, messy lives to help others see him. Amen? Amen. Well, let's be real, and I like to be real about these things because I believe in the struggle that we have. I believe in the world there's a battle going on all the time. Being the light in the world can be hard. Do you find that sometimes? Being different, being that light can sometimes be difficult. It can be challenging. There's decisions that we have to make, choosing to be a certain way, not putting that cloth over that lamp. Because it can be really a bit confronting and challenging to reflect Jesus in our world, can it be? Because not everyone's going, woohoo, that's great. That's great. They're saying, you're a bit weird. You're a bit strange. don't you get, that's not, you know, we've changed the truth. That's not truth anymore. We're calling it something else. that's another whole thing, isn't it? So it can be challenging, and I think it can be challenging in a number of places. So look at it at our home. It may be challenging. Maybe there's tensions or old patterns that we need to just let go in our homes when we become a disciple of Jesus. Now I know in my experience when I followed after Jesus, when he called me in my home, and I think about my home with my mom and my brothers and my sisters, I got it wrong a lot of times initially. So I wanted to tell them all about Jesus and in such a way that sometimes it didn't have that effect and I wasn't really being a light. There was maybe not some humility in the way I was or just making sure that it was coming out of love, just being more aware of the situation that I was in. However, I needed to, and it was my responsibility to reflect his light into my family. And it was interesting because at first it was in my family they would go, because I came from a Catholic background, a fairly prominent Catholic background, and I chose one day to become a Pentecostal charismaniac in the way that I was going to the church I was going to. Now, when I discovered that Jesus was my Lord and my salvation, and I wanted to yield my life to him. And it was interesting because all through the next part of my life, my family would say to me, they could see this transformation going on. They could see this change, you know, because Jesus is light in me, reflecting through me, and they could see something was happening and I wasn't the same person anymore, because that's what God does. He sanctifies, he transforms us. You know, we become different. And all through that, they're still like, yeah, like we can see it and we recognize it, but you should be doing it in the Catholic Church. And I'm going, well, that's the thing. I couldn't. So, you know, some people may be able to, but I couldn't. And that was difficult for them. Well, I continue to walk with God and be faithful and to be a light as I should, and to not shy away from what I now knew was the truth. So, you know, I might have been the black sheep in the family, you know, although I was really a light sheep. Yeah, whatever that is, how that works. So anyhow, so that's possibly what it was. But the interesting thing happened over time is that maybe in life's experiences within our family, as things happen to family and people may have got ill or sick, or we're in a room where one of our relatives, maybe even dying, my family would turn to me, my grandmother, who was the matriarch of the family, and those who would turn to me and they ring me up and they say, look, this is going on. Can you pray? And they'd go, and the thing was, they would go, could you pray? Because we don't really understand it, but God seems to hear you. Isn't that great? Really don't understand it. Because I see a light, something's there. They may not necessarily understand it, but they recognize and they ask, can you pray? Can you pray? Isn't it interesting? So never stop being a light in your family, in your home, no matter how difficult it is, no matter whether you're different from everybody else within that place. Because that light will expose the darkness. That light will cause the shadows to be seen and people to be able to make a response. That's what we need to be, the light in our families. At work, another place we might find it difficult because we want to fit in. We have a job and we have the challenge of how different can I be and still keep my job? what's going to be the challenges there? I know Deb at one stage had to leave a job because around her, the light and being truthful in her work with God meant she had to leave when they asked her to do something, and that was what needed to happen. But there is a challenge sometimes in that area. Now, how do we go about being the light in that place? What attitudes and what talk? How we're going to be in our workplaces? You know, I remember I worked for 10 years at a place called Australian Meat Holdings. At that stage, we had 2,300 employees. I worked in different positions in that place. I was also doing Bible study by correspondence at the same time, which was interesting. And I came into that place, and if you know anything about a meatworks, they're the salt of the earth, those guys and girls. That's saying it politely and nicely. They are a bunch of people. Love them dearly after my time in there, but they keep you really well grounded. That's who they are. And we had a big place. We had a lot of employees, and I had prominent positions in that place. I initially wasn't, but then I ended up being supervisor in a different roles in production, the production controller, et cetera. Now I reflect back on those times when I was there, and being a Christian in that place, and I was being a Christian in that place. I was being a light in that place. I wanted to do my job well. I wanted to... whether other people might be a little bit slow about things or not following through things, keep my attitude right, keep my conversation right at all times while still doing my job and doing my job well. And the interesting part about being in that time, I reflect back on times where there were times like, just checking my time, there were times like people would come up to me and they would say, as a supervisor, I say, there's something different about you. There's something different. What is that? And I would, because I wasn't walking around with a plaque on my something on my head saying I'm a Christian. I'm just going about being a light, living as I should, working as I should. Not getting it right all the time, but that was my intent, was to honor God in that place. And they would come to this conversation, they would say, and then they would ask the question based on attitude and the way you were and the way you're approaching things, are you a Christian? Then you could go, yes, I am. And they opened up the conversation every time. And they would respect that and honor that because they saw something that was different from the rest of the guys. They said, the other supervisors are like this, you're not like that. And they respected that because that light had an impact and a positive impact. And that created for me so many opportunities to just have, like I had a young guy one stage when I was in, had an office space, this young guy who was in the coal stores, in the meatworks, he wanted to explore who Christ was. But, you know, that's like a bit difficult there at work. And he suddenly realized, said, oh, what I can do at lunchtime rather than going into the lunchroom, I can go into Joe's office and read the Bible and no one's going to say a thing. No one's going to do anything and I can do that. And I created, God through me created this opportunity for this young guy. I don't know where he's at now, but what a blessing that was, that he would feel that way. And, you know, just to give that. So with friends, we might be afraid of standing out too much. Can that happen sometimes? We don't want to be the person who stands out too much. We don't want to be different. Now, we all like to be liked, don't we? Fairly common, natural thing. We all like to be included. But there are some events and some things I just shouldn't attend and you shouldn't attend. And that's a challenge, but be a light. You know, there might be challenges of how do you show up for any friends who are in need? You know, how are you in that situation? Because when I look at it around my friends and those people that are in my life, I see it as asking the question of God, why are they my friends? Is it coincidence or is it your intention? And I believe it's God's intention that it's my friends. I believe that God has placed me in my world intentionally to be a light wherever you find yourself. So it's God. Now, there's pressure to be liked, to conform and to go with the flow, because sometimes it's just easier to blend in, isn't it? We think so. We think it's just easier. It can be a struggle, a wrestle, and just plain uncomfortable. However, Jesus says, let your light shine Let it happen. Don't cover it up. Don't cover it up. Now, being a disciple takes intention. There's an intentionality about it. There's a purpose. There's a discipline about it. We need to show up with courage and consistency, not perfectly, but faithfully. I read so much in Scripture, it just gets me, where Paul in his epistles talks so much about being like a soldier or an athlete, or there's a sense of discipline. There's a sense of intention. There's a sense of focus, because everything is pulling against us to be something else. But we need to be focused. We need to be courageous. We're not perfect, but we're faithful. God, find me faithful. Find me faithful above all things. Now, people will notice, and when they do, they're not just seeing you, they're seeing God who's working through you. And isn't that the amazing thing? We reflect the light of Jesus. So I like to look at some reflection questions all the time and help us think about this a little bit, that it wasn't just some words that I spoke, but how can you change or be intentional about seeing some, maybe lifting a cloth from off the light so that you shine in your family, in your workplace, around your friends, wherever you find yourself in your world. So here's some questions for you to just reflect upon. Where in my life am I tempted to hide my light? Where in my life am I tempted to hide my light? Now, think about those places. Think about those conversations. Think about those people. Seem to be that tension, put a cloth over, to not reflect Jesus in that situation. Be good to be able to, and even ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you where that situation or that place or those people are. Next reflection question. Am I being authentic or just trying to fit in? Am I being Christian or just trying to fit in? And I'm being a disciple of Jesus or just trying to fit in? The question I ask myself is, and I ask myself, who you are to God and yourself the same as who you are saying you are to others? That's a good way to look at it, isn't it? Who you are saying you are to God and yourself, is it the same as who you are saying you are to others in your life, no matter where they are? Is it the same? Because if it isn't, it's not authentic. It's not real. You're deceiving yourself. It just isn't a fruitful way to live. Next reflection question, last one, is how can I be more intentional about letting Jesus shine through me this week? Make a change. Be intentional about something. So take stock, give attention to our lives. Because transformation, for me, I believe, occurs when we give attention to something and let the light shine on it. It doesn't just miraculously happen, but it's because I give attention to something that I know needs to change, and I give focus to that, and I allow the Holy Spirit to speak to me. I let the Word of God just shine on it, to let His light shine on it, and then transformation starts. So sometimes we think that all we got to do is just do nothing and it will be all different. It doesn't work that way. That's not how Jesus. He actually calls us to be disciples. Be disciples. Let your light shine. There's an intentionality around that. So do that. So Jesus says, we are the light of the world. Can you say that about yourself? I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. That means our everyday lives should reflect who He is. Our everyday life. So I'm talking about what we do each day, the relationships we have, the work that we go to, the family that we're in, the school that we attend, the friends that we hang out with. They reflect who Jesus is, who Jesus is. It needs to be at home, at work, with friends, but it's not easy. There's a real struggle to be that light. So that's the reality of it. To be the light of Jesus is radical and it's counterculture. It really is. It really is. We are just different. We're just a little bit freaky and a bit different. That's okay. That's okay. Jesus was really, really different. He was so different, but wonderfully different. And that's how we're called to be as well, because we're to reflect His life through us. But it's the hope of the world reflected through us. The hope of the world is seeing Jesus through us. That's the hope of the world, nothing else. That they would see Jesus in and through us. And that's my prayer for us. I wonder if we can stand and we can just pray. Holy Spirit, that is my prayer for each of us today. We are the light of the world. We reflect Jesus. As we think about this coming week and going and heading towards Easter, we reflect a God who loved us and loves us so much. We reflect Jesus who was willing to go to a cross to bear our sin, to take away the penalty, to deliver us, to free us. Jesus is the hope of the world. And my prayer is that each of us, that we would, that people would see through us that Jesus is the hope of the world.